Good morning, everyone. Happy 1st of December. Christmas is just around the corner. Just over 3 weeks. Okay, this morning's Bible reading. There's two. One, the first one is from Jeremiah chapter 7, from verses 1 through to 11, which can be found on page 760. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house, and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in peace. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder? Commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal, and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, "We are safe, safe to do all these detestable things." Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. The second reading is Matthew chapter 25. Verses 31 through to 46, which can be found on pages 994. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, and take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning again, and thank you for the invitation to speak here this morning. I was speaking to you today from Matthew, but we will move around a little bit as we seek to understand what Jesus was talking about with the sheep and the goats. But today, the story or the theme for my talk today is actually on partnership in the gospel. So partnership in the gospel, we'll come back to that again. So let me give some context. So before I do, would you join with me in prayer? Father, I pray you would assist and direct me as I bring the word today. That I would faithfully proclaim the good news and bring glory and honour to you and insight into your will for our lives. Amen. So as I mentioned before, I'm Partnership Development Officer for Anglicare in the South Sydney Diocesan region. That practically means I have 50 churches that stretch from and also schools and other church organisations, I should mention, stretches from Strathfield, and I'm going to point to Strathfield, it's over that way, to Concord, over that way, Watson's Bay, a long way that way, down to Botany and to Malabar, up to Newtown, and then west all the way out to Strathfield. So it's a diverse community. It incorporates the inner west, it incorporates the CBD, it incorporates eastern suburbs and South Sydney. The needs across each suburb differ, and the way God uses his church vary. Or to put it another way, and a question I ask all churches is, how is God loving your community? And where are you engaged in loving your community in his name? It may be communities experience isolation due to language or culture, poverty of community due to ageing and related diseases, or people at risk of being homeless in ageing, mental illness, family and relationship breakdown, foster care, or limited access to food for a variety of reasons. There are many needs. Indeed, some churches are seeking to build capacity to serve people locally through Anglicare's pastoral care programs, where we train people. Applying these skills in Anglicare would actually be another way of utilising these skills. So in our hospital chaplaincy, or our prison ministry, or our aged care chaplaincy. I love the opportunity to come alongside these churches and to hear how you love your community. This allows me then to see ways to enhance this with Anglicare's scale and unique services. You may be wondering who Anglicare is, or you may have some knowledge of our work as a branch of the Sydney Diocese. Today I plan to give you a little insight into our work and to what partnership enables us to achieve to bring glory to God. Firstly, I'd like to read you a note that was sent to me recently by one of our staff who coordinates our Anglicare shops across the region. And I quote, "I'm compelled to share a current story on just how well the church and shop partnership is building a community around a vulnerable person. Name changed for confidentiality. A new Anglicare shop has just opened, and for a few weeks, Linda and Adam would visit the shop. A couple of times, Linda would come in by herself, and after a few encounters with staff, she mentioned she'd like to attend church. The manager introduced Linda to a few people from the partnered church ministry team, and before too long, Linda was seen regularly attending church. Linda's been able to disclose to her new church family the difficulties within her relationship with Adam. As the church partner also had many services, such as counselling, Linda was given access to regular counselling sessions, as well as attending home group and starting to build nurturing relationships within the church. Most recently, Linda was prepared to leave Adam and just last week was in hospital due to domestic violence. The church team had been by her side in hospital and asked for prayer as they watched Linda still go home to Adam. The partnership continued to pray for Linda and Adam and have asked for continued prayer for the greater Anglicare team. Please join me in also praying for these churches as they nurture those who come to seek answers while pointing to Christ." This is but one example of how Anglicare shops are helping to minister to people partnered local with churches. Our shops are a vital link to vulnerable people and a purposeful missional activity. Not only do we engage in serving people with clothing, food hampers and low-cost groceries, but people hear the good news and in partnership with parishes, lives are changed. Did you know that these shops are entirely funded by donation bins? Each Anglicare bin almost pays for one shop manager's salary, approximately, on average, each year. We currently have 26 shops and plan to grow to 40 by 2028. This is one way you could assist Anglicare in partnering by placing a clothing bin on your site. This is also a very practical demonstration to your community of your concerns for others and an opportunity for your community to engage in your church. Another way you could partner with Anglicare could be volunteering to work in one of our shops or our distribution centre. What does the Bible say on the topic of partnership in the gospel? One of the most celebrated verses on the theme is Philippians 1, 5-7. I read, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And where I am in whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me." And in Philemon, verses 4-7, Paul writes, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all the holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people." The following video seeks to show you what Anglicare's mission looks like. So I'll play it and then we'll continue.
I grew up in the western suburbs of Sydney.
I was born in Wagga.
I'm from Syria.
I'm from Peru.
I taught children how to swim. And I was on in first grade, maybe in first grade.
I worked in palliative care in a hospital, which was quite a big job.
In Syria, I have master's degrees in basic science. I don't know why I can't find my way in this country. I've lost myself, maybe. Yeah.
I am a 70-year-old man trying to live his life, and I get lonely at times.
Rob's got Parkinson's disease. He needed me so much that it would sort of like has controlled my life in a way that I'm a bit limited. So there was this like Jekyll and Hyde sort of existence where at work I was, you know, held in high esteem. At home, I was nothing. I thought of myself as being very second rate, you know.
I've been here for 4 months. I'm helping now my parents. They can't speak or have connected with other people in this country. I'm trying to helping them. I need help as well.
After many heart attacks, I had to give up many activities.
It was well after that, but then before too long, he also had a significant stroke. So we started to think about what we should do about our living arrangements.
I came here to Anglicare when I was 62 years old.
I'm a resident here at Glenhaven Green.
We got the home care package with Anglicare.
I have a good relationship with the church.
Anglicare give us food and in learning English.
The people that come here do need looking after.
Anglicare staff really stepped up and were there to help and provide what was needed.
And that was like marvellous, the way they just came in. He's just hasn't looked back since.
Oh, it's a very welcoming home.
It's been top class.
They're good teachers. I'm very, very happy.
Appreciate the hard effort that they put into helping the community.
It's a philosophy based on Christian ethics. It's not a commercial philosophy. They're making sure that the whole community is looked after for the non-Christian as well as the Christian. It's open to everyone. This is a case of service, and Anglicare are doing it very well.
I feel valued because God loves me. God loves me for who I am. I'm not second rate.
Yes, I am important for God.
God made me who I am. I am Colin.
I am Sandra.
I am Margaret.
I am Judy.
I'm Marcel.
I'm George.
I am Mary.
I'm Lawrence.
Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 25, from verse 31 to 46. So if you have it available in the pew, I'd recommend you bring that up now. Coming at the end of a series of parables explaining the end times from chapter 24 to this chapter, the disciples asked Jesus a question. When will it happen, and what will be the signs of the coming of the end of the age? Jesus provides a series of parables to explain what waiting for the Lord's return is like. The last of these is the parable of the lost sheep and goats. Sorry, of the sheep and goats, should I say. Let's read it. So I'll read the text, but please feel free to read along. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? I needed clothes and you clothed me. When did we see you sick and in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So this is the last parable spoken to the disciples at the end of teaching on the end of times. So what were the earlier ones that we referred to earlier prior to this? And I'm indebted to Don Carson for this, so apologies as I seek to explain this. The first ones in the series of parables suggests you don't want to be surprised by the Master's return. The people of Noah's day were marrying and carrying on life without the knowledge of impending destruction. Jesus was not wishing to point out their sin that brought the destruction, but the disciples should be prepared. Two people in a field, one will be taken and the other left, or two women hand grinding grain. Suddenly again, in the midst of everyday activities, the master will return. One will be left and the other disappears. Watch out. You don't know when. Then another story. Thief will come when you are not vigilant. If we knew when a thief planned to arrive, we would be prepared. But we don't know. So be ready for the Son of Man's return at any hour. It will come when you least expect it. Another parable. Wait for the Lord Jesus as wise stewards, not as a foolish steward, like the previous parable. He did not know the hour of the master's return, but this time you'll need to give an account. Many people in our churches will be surprised at the last day when they are called to give an account. We know that the only account acceptable on the last day is this, that Christ died for my sins, and that only through him am I made clean before God. The third last parable, the ten virgins, be prepared for the groom's arrival, or you will miss out on the celebration. Keep watch, or you will be shut out. The second last parable, bags of gold. You have been given much to care for, a talent. In Greek, talaton was a weight of precious metals, a large weight. So it's not a talent that we would normally express within our culture. It is actually a weight measurement. So a talaton of gold was millions of dollars. Much has been entrusted to you, so care for it wisely. Put it to work as he has instructed. The master's return after a long time. What do you have to show for it? So we see Jesus building his message for his disciples. As he trusted disciples, as we await the kingdom, as you live out your faith, as you conduct yourself in faithful service to God, because Christ the Master will return. Be prepared. It could happen any time. When you don't expect it, it will catch the ill-prepared. It could be a long delay. With all he has given you of his wealth, manage it well. Put it to work for his glory. Note the man who was given the most was put it to work at once. And the last man buried the wealth, squandering the riches he could have delivered to his master. Use your faith. Put it to work. As God's servants, he commands us to use the riches of his power and glory, not bury our faith in the midst of life and self-service. So we come to the last parable, the sheep and the goats. Now, I believe some have wrongly interpreted this parable to mean that we'll be judged according to our care for the needy, that our salvation hangs on it. But this would run against the whole message of the Gospels and Christ's work on the cross. Indeed, Matthew is taking us to the cross within the next couple of chapters. So what was Jesus' point? We know from many verses and books of the Bible that God has a special concern for the needy. To name a few, in Psalm 146:9, the Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Or Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Take a look at the book of Amos when you have an opportunity, or the opening passages of Isaiah. They are full of this. Or the New Testament, in Mark 12:33, to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. And in James 1:27, the religion our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So God has a great concern for the needy. But what is Jesus meaning in the parable of the sheep and the goats? The clue's in the text. Jesus is addressing his disciples, his followers. We need to be ready. The Lord is returning. You are charged to serve your brothers and sisters in Christ. In verse 40 and verse 45, Jesus says, whatever you did or did not do for these brothers. Who are the brothers and sisters? They aren't his family siblings. In chapter 12, Jesus says, who is my mother and who is my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he says, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. As in chapter 24, following the resurrection, Jesus greets the women and tells them, go and tell the brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me. Jesus' point is that true disciples are brothers and sisters who by nature are drawn to care for one another. The parable of the sheep and the goats is telling the brothers and sisters to care for our family in Christ. He says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, these disciples of mine, you did for me. Note that both the goat and the sheep are surprised, not by the sentence, heaven and hell, but they are surprised that caring for others in Christ is caring for Christ. Jesus identifies with his people. We are to wait the Lord by caring for the needs of the faithful. To forget this, you risk being declared cursed and rejected. In your community, caring for the family in Christ may look like meal ministry for the sick, transporting to a doctor's appointment, or providing for the needs of church families between work, having been retrenched. Does this mean we can dismiss our care for non-believers? Not at all. It's a high bar from which we must demonstrate to the world that in Christ we serve others. For when we serve others in his name, we bring him glory. St Andrew's Preschool and Abbotsford Anglican Church are currently running a partnership with Anglicare, Toys and Tucker. How does this work? Well, I've got a video. Let's have a look at the video which explains the program. You may have seen the video before, so apologies. And how it demonstrates Christian care.
While most of us can't wait to celebrate Christmas with our friends and family, there are many people in our community who often find Christmas to be a lonely and hard time of year. Toys and Tucker is an initiative of Anglicare Sydney that provides a way for all of us to come together to share the joy of Christmas with people in need. So, how does it work? Any church, school, business, or community group can register. As a group, you each contribute by simply adding a few extra items to your shopping trolley, including non-perishable food and toys. Your gifts of toys and food are then picked up and taken to the Anglicare warehouse, where they're sorted, packed into gift hampers, and distributed to people in need through Anglicare's emergency relief and family support programs and by local churches. Even if you can't register as a group, you can still help by making a donation to help cover the cost of the extra food and gifts we'll need to purchase. While adding a few extra items to your shopping might only feel like a small gesture, the impact is big. Your contribution really does make a major difference by helping to make Christmas a happier time for those who would otherwise go without. Together, we can reflect God's love for all and show that everyone is valued by sharing the joy of Christmas through Toys and Tucker.
How does this love for our brothers and sisters in Christ look? I've got a following video. This is actually from St John's Glebe, whose ministry is directly supported by churches like Abbotsford St Andrews. So this is Darcy, who is the assistant minister.
My name is Darcy, and I'm the community ministries director of St John's Anglican Church. And I've been doing that role for about 2 years. I remember last year working with Toys and Tucker was really wonderful, and we're just trying to fine tune our process so that we can manage. We've got about 150 hampers this year and toys for 130 kids. So we just need to manage it all and make sure everyone gets what we want to get to them. I think I would say to other churches who are considering Toys and Tucker, that it's an incredible opportunity for us to share the good news of Christmas with our community. We want to tell them about the good news of Jesus, but we also want to help them to celebrate and share with us that time. And so giving people that we know in the community something to make this time special, helping them to feel like this is a special time for their families. These are ways that we can really serve people, create connections, and have some of those conversations about what Christmas means for us.
I'd like to thank St Andrew's Preschool and Abbotsford Anglican Church for your partnership in the Gospel. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we greatly appreciate your support and the prayer that you provide as we seek to care for people across our city. Together in partnership, let us spur each other on to serve our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Like Linda's church, which I spoke of earlier, her church family need to look around to the needs within our families. So within our own communities, who are the people that we can reach out to and show Christian care to? Anglicare is uniquely placed to show Christ's love and to some of our communities most vulnerable. Will you partner with me in this ministry? I'd like to offer a prayer now for Linda and for the work of Anglicare as we conclude. Dear Lord, we know that we live in a broken world. We pray for Linda and for many others who suffer so deeply. We thank you, Father, for the care and love that the churches provide. We pray for opportunities for us to express our concern for others, to seek to heal the wounds, and to bring safety to those who are most vulnerable. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.